Hey there, church family. Wow. So good to see you guys. And since I didn't get to do my announcements, because we got even better news that Scott made the choice for Christ today, and we're going to have a baptism. You know, I've been longing for this. How about you? Like, this feels really good. And, you know, it seems like more and more steady, our numbers keep growing, and we see consistent viewing on Zoom still, and we see all of you here together. And it's just amazing to watch how, in the midst of turmoil, how God just has a way of putting things back together, right? How he has a way of coming through and providing for us, even when everything in the world seems to be completely off course. You know, the thing that I love about this sermon series, so we've been looking at Philippians 4, verse 8 pretty much since all of this started, and we decided to look at things from the perspective of how Jesus displayed the things that we are to focus on in Philippians 4, verse 8. And the topic today is whatever is lovely. Whatever is lovely. Now, one thing that we have to understand about the word love, okay, in our language, is that we translate multiple different Greek words into the word of love, okay? And so one thing that's very important when we're looking at Scripture and when we're looking at the idea of love is understanding what love we are talking about. Okay? Because there's different types of love. There's the two primary ones in the Bible are phileo, okay, which is actually what this word lovely is, a combination of pros, which we understand today, like if I'm pro-life, right, we know that means I'm for life, right? That's what pro means, I'm for it, okay? And so it's a combination of pros and phileo, okay? So I am for deep affection. That is the type of love that is displayed. We also see in the Scripture the idea of brotherly love, right? We know that that word is Philadelphia. Anybody heard that word before? We know that Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Well, that word phileo that makes up Philadelphia means deep affection. So there is a deep and abiding affection that we keep in mind. So I wanted to kind of put that into perspective, because I could talk in a million different ways about Jesus' love, right? I could talk in a million different ways about the love of Jesus. And yet so many of the times when we see love, we see the word agape, which is godly love. That is a love that surpasses all understanding. It is a love of God that is just beyond what we naturally have as human beings. It's something that requires God to accomplish. And I'm telling you all this because it's all going to tie together later on. But when we look at phileo, when we look at the idea of a deep affection, there is one place that absolutely stood out to me that just deeply touched my heart. And that was when it referred to how Jesus felt about Lazarus. Now, if you're not familiar with the story of Lazarus, I'll break it down very quick for you. Lazarus was the brother of Mary, who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair, okay? And Jesus has sent a message saying, your Lazarus, whom you love, phileo, is sick. He needs you. So Jesus goes and he heads out that way. And he takes a little bit of time. And his disciples don't want him to go, because where Lazarus is in Bethany. Bethany is within spitting distance of Jerusalem. And so his disciples are saying, Jesus, last time we went there, not so good. Don't know if we want to go back to this place. And so Jesus and the disciples go. He talks to Martha. Martha tells him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother could be saved. And to make a short story of it, Jesus says, your brother will rise. Have faith. Okay, and so we're actually going to pick up reading in John chapter 11, verses 28 through 36. It says, after she had said this, this is Martha, that after she had said this, she went back to her sister, back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went out to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered into the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, notice how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how much he loved him. See how deep his affection was for him." It's very important for us to understand the level of what it means to have deep affection for someone. It's not something just like, you know, I mean, I think we all know, like, really deep affection, right? Like, anybody who's a parent and sees their child for the first time knows deep affection. You look in that little face and you think, man, this is the world. This is everything now. We see that deep affection and we recognize that deep affection, but Jesus had a deep affection that rang throughout. It was something that was available for all people. And it amazes me. I want you to understand how much Jesus loved Lazarus. Because it wasn't something simple or vague. To have this deep affection caused Jesus to do things that normal people wouldn't do. Normal people would not be willing to risk for those who are not the deepest, their children, their wives, their family. But Jesus risked much. When we look at John chapter 11, verses 7 through 8, it says, "And then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?'" Can you imagine being someplace where there was a threat of being stoned? Someone trying to take large rocks and throw them on your head, trying to put an end to your life, and knowing that you're going to go someplace. You're going to be somewhere where these people who want you dead are there, who are looking for that opportunity to destroy and to bring harm. Can you imagine what that would feel like to walk into that place? See, Jesus' affection caused him to be willing to just do whatever it took to be there for Lazarus. I have deep affection for my family. I have deep affection for you as my church family. I have deep affection for my friends who are like blood to me. I would do anything for them. I would be willing to do whatever it took to go and to protect them and to care for them. There is that deep and abiding affection. And this is how the apostles felt about Jesus. They loved him so much, they had such deep affection for him that when he's saying, "I gotta go back to Lazarus," they're going, "Please don't. Please don't. We need you. We want you. We care about you." Can you sense that affection? That deep and abiding affection? We, as believers, need to have that level of affection for each other. I want you to understand this, and I want you all to soak it in, because this is absolutely true. You want to know one of my least favorite things I've heard throughout the years in church? You don't have to like each other, you have to love each other. If I don't like you, I definitely don't have deep affection for you, amen? If I don't like you and I am irritated by you and I don't want to be around you, guess what? I don't have deep affection for you. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, it says, "Now about brotherly love, Philadelphia, phileo, we do not need," it's not on the slides, Frank, don't worry. "Now about brotherly love, we don't need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do all love the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more." This deep affection is something that should be bubbling up within us for each other. It should be something that causes us to be willing to take risks. To say, I'm willing to sacrifice for you. I'm willing to give up for you. I am willing to give of what I have for you. To risk it all. In Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 45, it talks about how the early church was willing to sell their property. How they took the things that they had. They sold their property. They sold their land. And they said, here. Why? Because they had such deep affection for their brothers and sisters that they were willing to give away their security to make sure that their brothers and sisters had what they needed. Isn't that something? Isn't that real love? A deep affection? They were willing to risk what they had and what they were comfortable with to be able to do what God called them to do, which was to have that deep brotherly love. Now, the second thing that I see out of Jesus is that Jesus felt. Jesus felt. When it says Jesus wept, and you look at what they say afterwards, they're like, wow, look how deep his affection was for him. You're like, it bleeds out for me, but I chose this picture because I want you to see the hurt. That's how Jesus, it wasn't just like his eyes teared up a little bit and he's like, all right, guys, where is he? His heart was broken. He looked at all that pain. He looked at everything that they were suffering, and he said, I need to have that. I need to acknowledge that, and I accept that. I take that upon myself, that pain. Because when you hurt, I hurt. Now, for many of us, this is a difficult thing. The problem with being humans is people hurt us, don't they? For many of us, we've gone through life and we have been betrayed by people we should be able to trust. We've been rejected by our families. We've been hurt by those who we should have been able to count on to love us no matter what. They've left us. They've talked bad to us, mistreated us. They've treated us in ways that make us to feel as if we are worthless. And the reality is that I recognize that when we are looking at and saying, I need to take on and be willing to share your burdens, that can be hard. Because we want to be like, but what about what you did to me? What about the way you treated me? You want me to feel bad for you? You want me to feel sorry for you? You want me to hurt for you that things are hard in your life now? You weren't good to me. Why should I be good to you? And the simple fact of the matter is that we should be good to people because guess what? It's what God said to do. In Romans 12:15, it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Now, I'm going to remind you guys of something because I think it's easy to forget, and I've been saying it a lot. I'm going to keep saying it until I die because it's too important. God will not ask you to do something that you cannot do. Amen? Amen. If God says you can do it, you can do it. Stop making excuses for yourself. Stop looking for reasons why you can't. Yes, you can. He said you can, you can. So if God says I can rejoice, when somebody else rejoices, I can rejoice. When God says weep, when somebody else is weeping, you better believe I can weep. Like my daughter. Whatever we are going through, wherever our experiences are, we are capable of feeling with other people. Now, I got to caveat this, too. Because some people want you to join their pity party, right? Some people want you to join in with the world's against me, everybody hates me, nobody likes me, guess I'll just go eat worms. We will be around people that feed off negativity. And everything is always a problem in their life. Everything is a heartache. Everything is a sorrow. Everything is people being out to get them. Okay? That is not what this is talking about. It's not talking about when people aren't trusting in the promises of God, aren't focusing on where God wants to lead them, that we go, oh, there, poor baby. Yes, I understand the world's been so mean to you. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about coming along with people in their real hurts. When they've lost their job, when their spouse has left, when their family member dies, when the things that matter most to them have gone. That we are the kind of people that don't just slough that off. We're the kind of people that step into that hurt and join them in it. If people are throwing a pity party, remind them of the promises of God. Amen? Amen. Remind them that God said, you don't have to feel negative. You can rejoice. Right? Did God say it? Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. So do not encourage people or help people in their pity party. Remind them of the truth. But when people are hurting, we have to come alongside. We have to feel it, especially our brothers and sisters. That's what it means to have deep affection, is to feel their pain and come along with them. Got to take up the old adage of Mr. Bill Clinton, I feel your pain. We need to do that for each other. And then Jesus took care of them. Jesus didn't simply weep. I think we're pretty good at that sometimes as human beings, to be there to go, oh, there. Yeah, that's rough. All right, I'll see you later. I'll pray for you. It's very easy to look at these things and just simply be like, you know what? Yeah, it's out of my control. Wow, okay, that's too big. All right. But the thing about Jesus is when Jesus saw their pain, he used the resources that he had to care for them. Jesus cared for them. In John chapter 11, verses 41 through 44, it says, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now this is, to me, one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. Do you want to know why? Because it proves that Jesus is capable of healing all wounds. Is there anything in your life that you feel is too big to be taken care of?
No way.
I mean, to be honest, man, there's things I look at that I battle with. I know the Bible condemns divorce. I've been divorced. I didn't want it. It happened. And I know that God's intent was for me to be with one woman my entire life. And it hurts. And Satan tries to bring that up in my life over and over and over again of John, if you'd have done different, if you'd have been different, if you'd have been this, that, or the other, then that wouldn't have happened. There are so many things in our life that Satan tries to make bigger than God. That Satan tries to tell you, you went one step too far. No, don't bother. You went one step too far. You fell off the cliff so far, there's no way to climb back up. Stay where you are. You're lost. You're condemned. There's nothing good. But there's nothing like that. Do you realize that? I hope you do. I hope each and every one of you listening today understands, comprehends, and realizes that there's nothing you have done, nothing you will do that can separate you from the love of God. Now, when we're wrong, we need to get right. Amen? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying once saved, always saved. You can go do whatever you want. We need to seek to walk with Christ. We walk by faith. As long as we walk by faith, we are saved. Okay? But the bottom line and the principal truth of this is that there is nothing you can do, nothing you will experience in this lifetime that Jesus is not big enough to heal. And even if he chooses not to heal you here on earth, I promise you it's going to be healed in heaven. I went out and looked at Hilda's Memorial Garden this morning, and it's looking great. It is beautiful. And you know what I thought? Hilda's walking around in heaven. Hilda loved to sing. She used to tell me all the time when we'd be riding back and forth from her apartment, John, you should have heard me. I was young. I could really sing. Oh, I wish I could sing. She can sing. She can dance. See, God's healing everything. If we have faith, he promised he would. If we put our faith in him and faith in his work, he will save us. He will heal all of our wounds. If Jesus had enough affection to walk into a place where his life was threatened, if Jesus had enough love and affection that even though he knew he was going to take care of the situation, to weep and to hurt with them, and if he had enough love to be willing to walk into the fray and boldly trust that God would raise Lazarus on his behalf, what right do we have not to provide the care for other people who need our deep affection? Now, I don't know about you. Maybe Scott's done it. I haven't. I've never raised anyone from the dead. Any luck? No luck for Scott either, so don't come to us if you need people raised, at least physically. We're going to raise someone spiritually in a minute. Amen. But here's the thing. We do have time, don't we? God's given us a certain amount of time. He's given us resources. He's given us the ability. Some of us have financial stability, and God gives us the ability to help those who don't. We have the ability to care for people. I mean, some of y'all are amazing. I mean, flat out, you just love people like a duck in water. It just looks so natural. I think to myself, man, I wish I had that gift where I was always just that loving. But you have these abilities, these talents, and these gifts that God has given you. And when we use those to nurture and care for each other, God is going to use those things. We need to be that for each other. If you're the kind of person that's good at listening, start looking for people who need to talk. If you're the kind of person that's good at counseling and giving people sharing wisdom, let people know, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to be with you. I'm willing to communicate with you. If you're the kind of person that's good at fixing stuff and you hear somebody needs something fixed, don't wait. Get up and go. I can fix that for you. Using our gifts and talents is the way that we show our brotherly affection. Now, I want to come back to something because some of you are probably thinking, I really didn't like when he said that whole thing about you don't have to like them, you have to love them. I like that saying. That's one of my favorite Bible sayings that people say. You may struggle with that, looking at a brother or sister and saying, I don't feel connected to them, and I don't really like them, and I don't want to be around them. But I want you to look at this again. I want you to hear it. I didn't put it in the slides, so Frank's okay. It says, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. That love is agape. The love of God implants in you the ability to find deep affection for people that you wouldn't normally. So if God says you can do it, what does that mean? Amen. You can do it. And that's why Jesus told us to pray for our enemies and those that persecute us. Because it teaches us to have that deep affection. So how did Jesus teach us how to focus on whatever's lovely? He taught us to focus on whatever is lovely by being willing to take risks. Put yourself out there for your brothers and sisters. It's okay. And even if it hurts, God will bless you. Take the risk for your brothers and sisters. Be willing to feel and share their pain and let go of whatever is inside of you. Whenever Satan's going, yeah, but remember what they did to you? Let it go. Give it to God. Feel their pain with them. Come alongside them. Because I'm telling you, it is life-changing when somebody truly comes alongside you when you're hurting and you're in pain. And truly provide for them. Don't just talk about it. Prayer is a good thing, okay? But if you're telling somebody you're going to pray for them, just do it there. Why do you have to wait? Why do we do that? I do it too, so I'm guilty, but why do we do that? Can't we just as easily say, you know what, that needs prayer. Let's pray right now, you and me. Let's do it right here in the moment. Caring for each other, being willing to do the things that need to be done to make sure that our brothers and sisters are loved and cared for in their time of need. Whatever is lovely, focus on those things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you now, and I just want to thank you for the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for his phileo love, his deep affection for us, and the willingness to accept our pain and our hurt, and to be willing to take that pain with him to the cross, so that he could provide healing for all who would seek you, whoever would put their trust in you. And Lord, I thank you for the godly love, the agape love that empowers us, how your love for us and your work through the Spirit empowers us to love other people and to get past our hang-ups. Lord, I pray that in the hearts of all those who are sitting here today, that if there is anyone here who is holding on to a resentment, or anyone numbered among your people who is holding a resentment against their brother and sister, that you will convict them and bring to their heart the understanding that they need to work to have a deep affection for their brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray that your people would be a people who truly live out the idea of Philadelphia, that brotherly love, that deep, deep affection. And Lord, I just ask that today, that if there are those among us who need to make the commitment to be your child, that need to make the commitment to be empowered by you, to be indwelled by your Holy Spirit, to have their sins washed away, that they would make that choice today. Because that deep affection and that ability to transcend natural order of love, which is only for those we are close to, we have to have your power. Lord, your love on the cross was enough. You showed us what it means to be willing to sacrifice. You showed us what it means to be willing to accept pain and what it means to be the cure. For those that need your cure today, Lord, I pray that they'll make that choice. And Lord, I thank you for Scott's readiness to step into faith today, being willing to die to himself, to be buried with you in the waters of baptism, trusting in the work that you're going to do in him to wash away his sins, to fill him with the Holy Spirit, and that he'll be able to rise anew in a different life, clothed in your Son, Jesus Christ, so that he can stand before you pure, holy, and righteous. Lord, we just pray that if there's anyone else who needs to make that choice, that they'll make it today. Pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.